Okay.
How the heck are you, David?
Oh, good, Madonna. How are you?
Bloody awesome.
Hello, everyone out there.
So we thought we'd chat about why naturopaths and holistic counselors do a tailored approach to health, which is quite different from the medical profession, which, as we
Well,
know, especially here in Australia, they get in big trouble if they don't follow, the
let's go through some history on that. I mean, basically, because I used to do design work for naturopaths and different types of healers back in the 2000s. And one of the noticeable approaches that people talked about with naturopathy was that they looked at the underlying causes rather than just the symptoms. Okay, now we know that that also happens in medicine, but there's a more tailored approach towards looking at underlying causes from a metabolic health point of view. And even though metabolic health has become very fashionable these days because it's becoming on the internet a very obvious reason, and also not only obvious reason, but how to do things
Yep.
in a more holistic way. But naturopaths have been doing that for forever. And it's one thing that we have in common with counseling is that if you go and look at the medical approach, if you've got like a stress problem or something, generally you'll get immediately from the doctor, you'll get a choice of anti-anxiety, antidepressant, and sleeping.
And in
There's,
Australia, on average, it's 4 to 6 minutes before they prescribe that for you, and
right.
then you're out the
Because
door.
that's how long their sessions are, 4 to 6 minutes. But the point is that I'm not really negative about that in particular. It's one way of approaching it. But looking at the underlying things, especially counselling, we're really looking at those things, even without the herbal approach and that. So it's actually really counselling is supporting people, plus looking at the underlying conditions that
Yeah.
are causing the issue in an even more extreme way, because we don't directly deal with herbs and medicines.
Yeah.
That's the only thing, right? So we're mainly dealing with underlying causes, and then also how to revitalize your life. What's the word we got up there? And regeneration. They're the two
Yes.
things we do, underlying and regeneration,
Nice.
which our naturopaths also do. And also the best doctors you'll see out there also do take that metabolic health approach too these
Yes.
days.
And because metabolic health, everyone talks about it, I thought I'd get a quick definition for people.
Okay.
So metabolic health refers to the efficient and optimal functioning of the body's systems that manage blood sugar, blood pressure, cholesterol, and fat storage, ultimately reducing the risk of metabolic diseases.
Right. So let's just look at that little description there. So they've found in like many studies now that things like weight problems have nearly always got an underlying stress response or something.
Yes. Oh, well, we lay
So,
down tummy fat because of cortisol.
right.
So most tummy fat is actually not laid down because, or actually most visceral fat, sorry. So most visceral fat is not laid down because of food. It's laid down because of cortisol,
And
and
cortisol.
cortisol then creates fat around your major
And
organs.
cortisol is a stress hormone.
It's the number one stress and pain hormone.
Right.
And the body doesn't know the difference between real stress and imagined stress. So that's
Right.
why anxiety is so dangerous for our health.
Well, nearly all real things and imagined things they found in studies. Like, for example, they did tests with weightlifters,
Yes.
and some of them did weights, and some of them just imagined doing weights, and they both improved their muscle mass.
Right.
Incredible. Same thing as if you sit down and imagine eating a lemon, you'll start to salivate. There's no lemon in your hand. And
Yeah.
so mental exercises that are positive can be very powerful,
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
negative can be very powerful too.
Yes.
So the underlying thing they found in the adverse childhood, the ACE study, the adverse childhood experience, that stresses actually caused metabolic disease
What about ACE study? Yeah.
later in life. And the original people they started working with were mostly women with all types of health complaints, whether it was putting on weight or bulimia and anorexia, and that nearly all of them had childhood trauma and often sexual trauma
Yeah.
underneath that. And so that was where the link between stress and trauma developing to later physical health symptoms was understood initially. Around about 20, 25 years ago, they started. And now with neurobiology coming on board, Now there's fairly strong evidence that stress causes a range of metabolic health issues,
Yes.
plus other things like addiction, which isn't a medic, but from that stress we have overeating, we have addiction, we a lot of ways that we use all the internet to actually numb and give us some other hormones. Like for example, if you eat too much, you get a whole bunch of serotonin, you get dopamine immediately, so you get instant things, but then later you feel like, oh no, I've put on weight and I'm not
Yeah.
happy with that.
But even immediately when you're overeating, your insulin goes up. So your insulin is about laying down fat. Because going back 10,000 years ago, if we could not lay down fat over winter, we would die. So, the original.
So it's done out of safety,
Yeah,
essentially.
it's done out of safety. And then there's that other thing, especially for women. Big women are often creating that fat in order to protect themselves. So, quite, because 1 in 3 women, 1 in 4 women have been sexually abused,
But and that can
so.
still be like overhanging from childhood experience.
Absolutely.
So it doesn't even have to happen in your adult life. And so, get if you can get in a situation where you can get counseling with someone who's able to manage that type of thing,
Yeah.
then you can actually start to go through those things and resolve them.
Yeah.
Because one thing about things in life that happen in families, and people don't resolve things. They're just like, oh, we'll forget about that.
Yeah.
And
Yeah,
if
shove
things are
them under the
resolved,
mat.
and it, but if things can be resolved, it's better, although that's really hard to do in
It's really
relationships.
hard to do. A lot of people are very stubborn with it. Like there's still people 5 years on through the whole COVID shenanigans where the families will never speak together because there were such
Well,
strong divided opinions
well, that's
and
a
there was so much brainwashing going on.
well, that's a funny thing because usually, like for example, in studies on parental alienation, like what the ironic thing about that is that in situations where so parental alienation is a situation where in a family, and it often happens with the breakdown of the relationship, is that one of the parents has often accusations made against them that aren't true.
Yeah.
And a whole range of things, you can look it up, parental alienation, it's often hard. But so one parent gets alienated, and often by the whole extended family unit.
Right.
And the thing is about that is that children don't reject parents.
Right.
Like, for example, I know a lot of people
Say
personally.
that again.
Children don't reject parents,
Right.
right? Because what happens is, if you think about it, unless in family trauma situations, if there's no alienation, the kids don't reject their parents. They're so loyal to them, even if they abuse them really badly.
Yeah, so I
There's a
had a client.
loyalty, and alienation is a separate thing. And interestingly, you mentioned the COVID thing. That's an unnatural thing interfering with the family system, just like alienation is, because the mantra is that children don't reject their parents. So if
Right.
children rejecting their parents, you really have to wonder what else is going
And I
on.
don't know what the study is these days, but when I did counseling kinesiology, we were told, and I think it's different because I know you've used a different number to what I'm about to say. But for every negative in a household that we have, as long, no, yeah, no. For every positive we have in a household, for every positive we have from a parent, we can put up to 7 negatives. Now, that's what I was taught going back 30 years ago or 27
No,
years ago.
they've done further studies on that. It's actually the relationship between positive actions and negative actions. It has to be five positive actions for each negative action.
Right.
And that's because negative actions are usually stronger
So I
than
wonder if
positive.
that's just flipped in the last 30 years because children understand a lot more. Like remember when we would have been going through the school, all of a sudden there was that knowledge that, when they started changing from when parents were allowed to hit kids to when they couldn't, for example. That sort of like about 20 years ago, for example. So all of a sudden kids started knowing their rights. And I remember being a, total cow to my mum and sort of saying, "You can't do this to me." And I was horrible. Anyway, so it's sort of interesting that as parents get kids, sorry, know the laws, they use it against their
Let me
parents.
say something about this. In extreme cases, if there's really bad stuff, you can understand in those cases kids will reject their parents, but it has to be really bad
Right.
usually, right?
Okay.
Because basically it's that couples, right, aren't the same as kids. There's a biological connection with kids. There's no biological connection between couples,
Right.
right? There's a biological connection with all the people who aren't in-laws, they're all
Right,
biologically
okay.
connected. And so there's something in that, except the parents aren't biologically connected, right? So when they don't bond and they bring the kids into that non-biologically connected thing with what's really going on, right? Because couples aren't related to each other,
Right.
right? And so they can reject each other, whereas someone's related, it's rejecting has to be often in a severe thing. Now, what we're seeing online all over the place, we're seeing these things that people are calling that person's a narcissist, right? And they're telling people to cut
Yeah,
everyone off.
yeah, yeah.
Now, in family therapy, the traditional classical Murray Bowen style family therapy, a cutoff is considered as bad as dysregulation,
Yeah.
right? Because it's a cutoff is silent treatment. And what's the effect on the people of that? You can look it up. It's a pretty negative thing to do.
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying that people should or shouldn't or this
Yeah,
or that.
exactly. Yeah.
I'm just pointing out that the way things are, it's like if you try to manage things better, it's better.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, whenever I'm talking to clients, I will say, look, I'm not saying whether you should or you shouldn't. Because I had someone in yesterday who, her and her husband are in, they've been married 20 plus years. She's got a bunch of grandkids with him, but they've separated. And, and now he wants to get back and she has all this stress and trauma. Well, I won't I? Because family's the number one thing for her. It doesn't mean that the relationship was good. So, and nothing has changed. So she will be going back into it. There was no abuse. It wasn't that sort of thing, but they didn't, there wasn't a match there. So she's actually had a bit more freedom to be herself since she's broken up with him. But the tug is to get back because family's the most important thing for her. That's her top priority.
But there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
But because if you
No,
could fix
absolutely
it,
not.
because the family system is not only these days people want to cut it all up and go this and that and that. It's not actually a family. Is two families getting together.
Yeah.
It's not two people.
Yeah.
It's two family systems together, and all those kids are related to both family
And then
systems.
there's exes as well. So there's the whole step exes and step kids and that sort of
But
thing
that's
as
right. But
well,
all of those
which,
people are included in the family system,
yeah.
right? And so, what's one reason to stay together, to keep the family system together? Because it's a whole. It's a whole, and there's not any kids included. There's like animals, there's cats and dogs. There's all types of things. It's a whole system.
Can I tell you
And
a
if you
funny
can make it,
story?
and if you can rejuvenate the system,
Yeah.
that's a good thing.
Can I tell you a funny story? If you're listening, I hope you're this is okay. So I've got a client who I've known for like 25 plus years, and he used to be with this woman. Her and him were totally not matched. In fact, he really sort of hated her, and he kept staying together in the relationship. And one day I said to him, "Why are you still with her? Why are you keep doing this?" And he said, "Would you believe spite?" Which was the funniest answer I ever heard in relation to someone being
Generally,
staying in a
I'm pro
relationship.
relationships, and especially if you've got kids and if you can fix them, you can. I know some things don't work, and some parents are so awful to their kids that the kids really don't want to hang out with
Yeah.
them,
Yeah.
But I think
Well,
that, but I think that, but I think they're smaller amounts of people.
yeah. Well, I
They're not,
had another
you know.
client couple. This is going back 15, 20 years ago, and the father had abused all three daughters.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
And the father ended up alienating the mother and telling the children that it was her fault because she didn't protect them. All three of the daughters cut off the mother and they continued to have a relationship with the father.
Amazing. And the thing with parent alienation is that they say that it's not gendered, which might well be true. Although it's more likely that the custodian parent with more power has more time with the kid to do that.
Yeah.
But
Well, I suppose you have more time. And I, there's another, and that's happened a few times where the father has been, and again, I'm not diagnosing, but in that sociopathic, narcissistic, horrible, abusive sort of thing, has convinced the children that it was the mother's fault.
Well, some of it, well, you don't know.
Because I've got a couple of time,
Well, you know the story,
clients.
you know the backstory.
Yeah. So,
Whereas also another thing you don't know, because people, because in generally, domestic violence situations, everyone's keeping a secret. Do you know what I mean? And so there's only much people will ever tell you anyway. Like everyone will tell you their side.
And they're often those kids who never invited children back to their houses, after
Right.
school or on weekends or anything, So when you find out about their childhood, there was just none of that because things were so weird at home that they knew even from when they were little itsy bitsy teeny weeny kids that that was not somewhere you wanted to, And the parents often never encouraged friendships with other kids as well. So they were
Yes,
alienated
right.
from the ability to have friendships because the parents didn't want to be found out either.
Yeah, that's not that uncommon
No, it's pretty common,
in
if
theory,
I think about my
problem.
people, who can be going through that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff's all really sad wherever it happens. We don't get very good education, though.
No.
You know, often it's amazing if even if you just look up on the internet about ways to improve things, it's amazing how much information is available now to help that wasn't there before. And you know, that's in the class of psychoeducation. Because you know, what we're hearing off the people around us isn't necessarily good for anybody, which is why people come and see counselors or naturopaths. Because well, you know, Carl
And that's
Rove.
the thing with psych education, that we always talk or psychoeducation, it's why it's so
It's such a bad
important.
word.
It's why it's so important because if we don't understand what's going on in our brain, then you can have guilt and shame and blame and all sorts of things going on in there. Whereas if you understand this is the way your brain works, it's why I love the amygdala so much. Because once people understand that if I go into a rage, if I burst into tears at the drop of a hat, if I want to run away, hide in my room and not come out for 3 days, all of those are amygdala patterns. So your amygdala wants to protect you. But it can activate within 1/500th of a second. So I often say to people, well, this is your amygdala. This is your brain that's going back to you between 0 and 8 years old and just reusing a pattern.
Right, and that's where you really start looking at things. It's looking at patterns, like things that are one off or this or that. But when something happens 30 times, and just say, oh, I'm doing that, and it's a negative thing. I learned it in my childhood. I keep doing it. All the people around me are just going to get this stuff all the time. Like you could compare it to like childhood habits. Like you know, some kids like kids are antisocial in their teenagers, and they found that 90% of kids do antisocial behavior as teenagers. And you know, those then might be things like what are the type of things like maybe they'll steal something or they tell lies or this and that. But when those things come into adult life, you know, we're dealing with very serious things like big amounts of money, estates, and we really want people to be more honest. But if those habits from childhood graduate into adulthood, it's not very good. Manipulation, all those sorts of things.
So, to calm, and we have to learn these techniques in order to be able to calm our own brains down. Because, let's face it, everyone's got a little bit of something going on where we, lose it at the drop of a hat or someone will trigger us. So we've got to learn these
We've
techniques
got to
with
learn. We've
either.
got to learn positive behaviors
Yeah,
that,
whether it's prayer or breathing or mindfulness or exercise
well,
or,
generally self-regulation.
grounding. Yeah, absolutely. And work out what's good for you. So one of the things, there's this guy called Dr. Dale Bresnahan or something like that. And basically he's a guy who he developed, Dr. Dale Bresnahan, he created this thing called a RECODE protocol. And the thing that was really funny is that when he first started to reverse people's dementia and Alzheimer's, he was asked in an interview, well, what do you do? And he said, well, it's a 37-step approach. So everyone said, what's the 37 steps? But he just threw out that number at the drop of a hat in the middle of an interview. What he meant by that is
He's got a
everyone's
sense of
different.
humour.
He does have a sense of humor for a scientist. But what he meant was, this is what he does. He basically goes through and looks at the individual. He goes through their bloods, he goes through their energy, he goes through their lifestyle, he goes through their diet, he goes through, and they look at everything. What toxins are in the body? What bugs are in the body? Parasites, bacteria, viral particles. What vaccines have created injuries in the past? So he goes through all of this big stuff. Do they drink enough water? Do they do enough exercise? Do they have enough family and friend time? Do they have good friends in their lifetime? So he basically created this thing where every
A
month
survey, basically.
a survey and then, well, and massive amounts of testing. So he does a
Right.
massive amount of testing.
So one thing with that approach would be quite expensive.
People, okay, can I? tell you a story. I was at a seminar a couple of months ago, and there was a naturopath there, and her sister, I think her sister might have been a nurse. They had just spent $650,000 to get their mother into aged care. And it was a health seminar, and I said to her, if you do this consistently with your mother, she will, and I'm not saying what the product was, but basically I said, because I've had good experience with it, I said, if you do this with your mother, she will improve without a doubt. And you know what she said to me? We've just spent $650,000 getting her into a dementia ward. We're probably better off just letting her die. So $650,000, David. How much supplementation and detoxification and healthy stuff could she have done for her mother? People are spending their entire inheritance to get their parents into aged care in
I know
Australia.
someone in the same position as her.
And I just think it's hideous. So before, and anyway, so I just think it's hideous. So I think there's always money to be spent if people look at it. It's amazing how many people think they've got no money, and then to get people into aged care, they will sell the family home, get them in, and then they're still paying $1,000 a month to keep them in that private facility. It's hideous. It's evil. It's anyway, makes me crazy. And I've seen it over and over and over again. So then people run out of money, So how do you fix it then? Because things like,
Yeah, because I know someone, and it's like that can go on for years,
yeah,
like years and years and years,
absolutely.
and it is very expensive, especially if it's in a specialist unit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So one of my clients,
Actually,
she.
somebody I knew where they in that situation, something happened where there was somebody they were meant to get weekly massages and they were being charged for it and they never got any of them.
Yeah.
So there's those types of things happen too.
Makes me crazy. Yeah, well, one of the things is like one of my clients, her hubby's got dementia. He can't watch the TV, but you have to pay for the Foxtel subscription. And they pay so much for the Foxtel. I can't remember how much it is, but it's like five times more than what I pay. It's just BS,
Yeah, well, old people, categories, especially old men, high risk, very high risk of mental health and suicide
Yeah.
these days
Well,
because
one of the things we were chatting about the other day is that the genetic makeup for autism and Alzheimer's is identical.
And I
So the
think
same detoxification pathways have been damaged. The same inflammatory pathways have been switched on. The same detox mechanism, so the body isn't detoxing, it's creating inflammation and it's creating a neuronal load of toxicity. So, and it can be helped.
but that we can see that's happening at both ends of society
Yeah.
because with our little kids, childcare has been increasing for a long time.
Yeah.
And
So kids aren't getting as much parent time before heading
well,
to work.
basically what we're seeing, if I was to look at both of those things, we have a serious drive for independence.
Right.
And that's family independence. So we want so that we can have a more luxury lifestyle.
Yeah.
Our kids are in daycare early. And because we want a more luxury lifestyle, our parents are in old care facility.
Yeah.
And even though it's money,
Yeah.
it's an independence and not seeking. There used to be more of a something that in the studies they found on decline is generally decrease in empathy,
Yeah.
right? And through those things, and it's not blaming anybody because
Yeah.
these are large institutional attitudes, right, towards kids and old people that have developed over the last
Yeah.
40 or 50 years.
But
And before that, people didn't used to do it like that. And now
yeah.
it's like an in. It's an inconvenience because money's the bottom line.
Yeah. There's a really good video with Gerard Rannick in the last few days. He's one of our politicians here in Australia. And because he's an accountant and he's really looked at the history of what's happened in Australia as to why people now need two incomes to be able to keep a household going. And he said it all started, funnily enough, with the introduction of paid childcare. Before there was paid childcare, a mum was at home. They changed the whole financial system. And as soon as they changed the system, people needed two incomes to keep their houses going. So something shifted, and I'll have to go back and have another listen to it. But it meant that people needed two incomes. But anyway, so that's all.
Something easy that on that is that in the last, I don't know, 50 years, houses have gone from 4 times somebody's annual wage to 10 or 11 times. And so that's nothing. Anyway, so I'm not critical of the pe situations people do.
Oh,
It's
no,
just that
absolutely not.
it's just that there's been a noticeable decline in empathy, and the what the institutions are that was having empathy for, so you'd have more time with your child. Because the first year, if you can spend your main caregiver with your child, they've found in studies that child's going to be more regulated and relaxed in their life if they're with especially their mum for the first year. And but also, so we've got the young and the old, and there's something generally decreasing that we don't want to. We'd rather do something else, which is daycare
Well, I suppose we're not
or
getting that
old people's
oxytocin for
home.
family members.
Well, here we go. So the oxytocin is depleted in both those ends of the spectrum. Who's getting a cuddle? You know,
And like I remember
co-regulation, they call
one of
it.
the rules, and I know your wife is a little people teacher.
Primary teacher.
But one of the rules at the state school where Teddy goes is that ki kids aren't allowed to be hugged by teachers.
Right.
So
Yeah,
kids
no,
get to
that's it.
themselves.
Yeah, but that's the law now. I know, right?
So that's one of these horrible things.
Very
So,
strange.
if a kid falls over and injures themselves and then you're not allowed to hug them, like kids require, they need it. It's part of Maslow's law. It's crazy.
So that's the so student protection has become a lot stronger. And you know, because I studied that, and the new recommendations that have come in since the inquiry into child abuse, and so there's a lot of new recommendations
And
coming
look,
in.
I agree with not abusing children, obviously. That is 100%, for me. And I keep having discussions with Teddy about it as well because, like he's a sweet kid, but no one else is allowed to, Anyway, drives me nuts.
Oh,
But
well.
yeah, so Maslow's hierarchy of needs, in case you haven't heard of that, the first is physiological needs. So the survival stuff, water, air, food, that sort of thing, shelter and sleep. Safety needs. People need to feel safe in life. And quite often, school isn't safe or home isn't safe. And it's even worse for kids if neither are safe.
And Maslow's hierarchy, if the basic ones aren't fulfilled, it's harder to get to the higher ones. And so you see people with those two lots, the
So,
psychological,
physiological needs and safety needs,
they'll end up with a deficit in the next one, the love
which
and
is love and
belonging,
belonging. So, how
because
can you feel loved and belonging if you don't have your physiological and safety needs met?
right, and you can see it like a lot in some parts of the world where there's wars and things, and you look at how those things work there.
And then esteem. So everyone needs respect and recognition and a sense of accomplishment. And I'm sure you get this with your counseling clients as well. But quite often, people have been undermined at either work or in their home as a child or in their marriage. And oh, at work or, So basically, if someone's been undermined a lot of time, they simply don't have that oomph to put themselves first. And they
Well,
will put up with a bad relationship or a bad job, so that they don't have to go into the lion's den and say, this isn't working for me.
right.
They'll put up with it for.
Well, you can work, it's hard to work to get that back if you didn't get it in your childhood.
I've got a lady
But
in
you
her mid
can. It's
60s.
never too
It's
late to have a happy
pretty
childhood,
hard work.
as Tom Robbins says.
Well, for those of you who watch my kinesiology videos, Monica was in a long term marriage where that was very much happening. Her husband constantly undermined her.
Yeah, it's
And because,
criticism is the basis.
yeah, and because her dad was a vet from the war, he had a temper that would go off at the drop of a hat. Because, of course, poor old war vets, they didn't get a lot of help or love or support when they got back, and they just wanted to keep it inside because they didn't want to share what they had been through, which was so horrible.
And then we can't, when we come into adult life, those adaptions we made through childhood in adult version, like, because they're not only if we grow up in an aggressive household, we might be aggressive, but if we grow up being left out and put down, that'll also repeat. Like, there's two sides to that.
So I've only got a couple of minutes.
Self.
So yeah, self-actualization is the last one of the Maslow's hierarchy. So it's about people who can reach their full potential, and actually look at personal growth, creativity, and
What I do
self-fulfillment.
with Maslow's hierarchy needs at home with the kids is that I say, when you're a baby, we look after all of these five areas. And as you get older, I tell the kids, I want you to fill all these five areas yourself. And I say we take up the basic ones, obviously physical, a lot you do that till they finish school.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But some of them, as they get older, you can let go, like love and belonging and esteem needs. As kids become teenagers, they're less reliant or and interested on what their parents think.
Yeah.
So by the time they're 15, they're really, it's their
Oh, they
friend.
know everyone. We all know
No, but it's also
15-year-olds
their
know
friends are
everything.
more, no, but it's true that their friends are more important.
Oh, I'm
Like so,
fully aware.
and
Yeah.
so what their needs are when they're 14 or 15 is just to have that new pair of shoes, right? And it's because of this, and it doesn't matter what we think anymore. So you've got to like work out how to comfort them without always giving in. Yeah, but that's my thing is with the kids is okay when you feel. My goal is for you to leave home with those, with you managing all those five things yourself. That doesn't mean you give up on support, but basically you want them to fill their own triangle. That's how I teach the
Yeah,
kids.
that's nice. Yeah, cool.
And
You'll
then they're
leave.
self-reliant.
Well, yes. So one of my little ADHD boys, he is way too affected by the kids at his school.
Oh no.
Luckily, he's moving to another school, you know.
Because the kids see them being told to pay attention 20 times more than everyone else. So then the kids jump in on that too. And the
Well,
teachers.
actually, I listened to a
And it's
really
hard, you know,
lovely.
because ADHD kid, me.
There's that guy, he was on an interview with Sean Ryan has he's like an ex-military guy, and he's got this podcast which is about all sorts of things, and he has really interesting people that he interviews. Anyway, Dr. Ben Carson, he's the neurosurgeon. Did I send you his interview?
Don't know.
Anyway, he was called Dummy.
Right.
You know, so when he was like five, six, seven, can't remember where, he grew up somewhere like Detroit or somewhere where there was a lot of violence, and his mum had to work two jobs, and the father wasn't around, and he's a real, when he became a neurosurgeon, so jumping ahead 20 years, there were only like 17 black neurosurgeons in the world. So everyone tried to stop him from doing it, saying that it wasn't, you know, for him. But
Right.
because he was called Dummy all the time, he absolutely took that on. So him and his brother would go home and basically not do anything except watch TV. And his mum was religious, and she would pray, and finally she got the guidance or common sense, who knows, but one of the to
Similar.
basically stop, to stop watching TV. And the only thing they were allowed to do after school before dinner was to read books. She didn't care what books as long as they read books. So
Okay.
he
I don't know
started.
how she got him to do that.
Yeah, so she, so he started reading books on animals,
Right.
and
Okay.
and basically started finding, and he read it once again. I can't remember what where it was, but he said that he read every single animal book in the blah Detroit library. That could be a lie, wherever it was. And but then his about, and then he got into rocks, because in the area where he was, there were some cool rocks. So then he thought, okay, I'll learn about rocks. And then about eight, it was about 18 months later, to that time, he had never put his hand up in class, ever. And on this particular day, the teacher came in and said, okay, who knows what rock this is? And he had a shiny black rock in his hand. And Dr. Ben said, and he just sat there because he thought, well, I don't put my hand up. And no one else put their hand up. And he sort of went, and the teacher went, Benny. And he said, what is it? And he said, that's an obsidian. And he said, that's right. And then he just started talking about how it's made from volcanic blah, 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 blah.
And how you make tools out of it?
And everyone still called him Dummy for the next 2 years. But all of a sudden, he became that guy that the teacher pulled him a class after school and said, you know, if you can learn about rocks, you can learn about anything.
Well, there was that support, actually.
That support on that day changed his life. So
Right.
already his mum had had him reading for 18 months or something.
Of
But
course, people don't really read books now. They're all everything's online.
But you know, he's 70, he's been married 50 years. You know,
Sure. No,
it's a
it's just
long
that the
time
it's just
ago.
that the reading thing is now like because the kids at school have got iPads, everything's on the iPad. It's not there's no books. So you know, one of the problems with this whole negative screen thing, but that's all they do at school. And there's a general negativity. And I'm kind of like, what? But that's actually their school tool.
It's addictive. That's why there's
It is
negativity about
addictive,
it.
but
It's very addictive.
I'm not as negative as most people because what I see is this is the field they're going into, right? And they do have to deal with internet addiction now, and they'll have to deal with the things that are too available, like porn online. Like, you know, compared to when I grew up, it was like, yeah, had to go to another state to buy magazines or something or whatever it was.
Yeah,
When you
right.
were a teenager, better say like, click there, whatever you want. I mean, you've got to develop a higher sense of self-control to manage that
Yeah.
situation at all.
Yeah.
And not only that, I see the adults just as addicted as the kids.
Yeah.
That's a bit of
Oh,
the
absolutely.
adults aren't picking up books. I am, but.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. But
No, but you
anyway.
see it down the park. People are
Yeah.
on their mobile phones while they got their kids there.
Yeah. So, anyway, I hope that's been interesting for you. Sort of the whole tailored approach, is a really different way of thinking to the medical system.
Well, everybody's different.
Yes,
And
everyone's
so,
different.
and especially with anything psychological, it's going to be different for everyone. Like
Yeah.
the, some things are the same, like a lot of behavioral traits are similar, but then they manifest differently in different environments, which would be the same for naturopathy,
Yeah.
right? Some things don't work for some
Well,
people.
just something I've noticed in the last, say, 6, 12 months is that detoxing people is getting much, much harder. Now, I
Right.
don't know whether it's because the shenanigans the last 5 years, whether people have got nastier crap in their body than they've had.
Well, they
Because
just
I've
have.
been detoxing people for 30 years.
Hmm.
It's a naturopath's bread and butter, sort of going, okay, you have low vitamin D levels, even though you spend plenty of time in the sun. What's going on with your vitamin D receptors? Let's clean them up and detox them. So anyway, it's a naturopath's bread and butter. So, but what I've found is that so many people are having issues, even if you just add in, say, the methylated Bs. So I'm getting down to like one every second day for some people. And as soon as they increase it to one every day, they get all these symptoms of it's amazing. So there's some really nasty stuff that's being moved through people's body. And the reason people have side effects when they're detoxing is because there's this Hertz reaction. You've heard of that?
No.
So it's basically a reaction where you detox too fast
Oh, okay.
and the body can't keep
Yeah,
up.
that fair enough.
So some people,
That toxifies the system with what's coming
So
out.
you might, your bloodstream will be doing the best it can. So as soon as you increase the load and the body will pull stuff out of either your biofilm or your liver or your kidneys or your brain or your fat and dumps it into the bloodstream. If the bloodstream can't keep up with it, then you can have side effects.
Right. What's interesting about that is, so I do counselling supervision, and there's a
Yes.
group of us, and our supervisor, she said, when the cyclone happened, did anyone re get reminded of COVID? And everyone said yes.
Yeah, right.
So we've also got the layer that you mentioned, physical things that have been introduced into our metabolic realm.
Yeah.
But also what happened there, like you said, people are still fighting over what happened then.
Yeah.
Right, so increased stresses were put in
Yes.
that because of lockdown, whether it was necessary, but we all saw people fighting like they never did in their lives before, and that increase in stuff is still residual
Oh,
around
absolutely it
because we
is.
felt it with the cyclone.
Yeah.
Suddenly it was like I didn't even know about it, and I go to the supermarket and it's full of people, and I'm like, and I just went home, and then when I got back, I thought I'll go to the shop this
Yeah.
afternoon, and there's no fresh food at
Yeah.
all, no vegetables,
People
no
went
dairy.
nuts.
And no
Yeah.
toilet paper, of course.
Yes. Well, yeah. So the other way that Herx reaction, so detox is one thing, but the other thing is when you're doing parasites or bacteria detox. So yeah, it's called a Herxheimer reaction. So it's anything like joint and muscle aches, fatigue, fevers and chills, skin rashes, headaches, digestive issues, and brain fog. So it's good to know that because some people immediately assume that it's a side effect of the supplement and they can't take it. And I always say, no. It's the
Go.
sign that it's working. Just go slower and then we build up. So sometimes, like for example, Bactrex, it breaks down Candida fungus. It sort of helps with parasites, but also biofilm. So it breaks all those things apart. Some people can take 3 in the morning, 3 at night. I have no problem taking
Right.
three at a
And
time.
another example is with magnesium, right?
Yep.
If you start taking it, you might get diarrhea.
Absolutely.
Right, but so you reduce the amount and slowly build up.
Yes,
Like, because
exactly.
of the But then, in the same token, from a counselling point of view, the underlying stresses might cause symptoms as well.
Yeah.
Because they've worked out that stress can cause physical health issues in the future. So if
Yeah.
that happens in kids, it can also happen in adults.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah.
that
So,
was great.
yeah, cool.
Nice chat,
Excellent.
Madonna.
Cool.
Hope everyone enjoys that.
Let us know what you'd like us to chat about, and if you have any comments or thoughts on this one, throw it in the
And
notes.
of course, if you need any help with any of these problems, just ring in and get some counselling or some naturopathy, and we're happy to look at any of the deeper issues
Yeah.
affecting that are underlying, looking at your symptoms.
Absolutely. Cool. Everyone can need it. Everyone can use a helping hand. Okay. Mwah. Bye, everyone.
Bye.